चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुः नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासुदेवौ हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो इंस्टेड ऑफ श्रीमद्भागवतम वी विल कंटिन्यू अवर भगवद्गीता डिस्कशन भक्तिशास्त्री So we have completed our first chapter yesterday evening. So you want to note down this, everyone? Noted down or not it? You all could have done, no? Okay, you can do it a little later, huh? So first we'll discuss it. Now I want to give some additional comments on first chapter. Srila Prabhupada in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam after first chapter, that is about appearance of Lord Krishna, he described all the verses, gave comments, purports to all the verses of first chapter of 10th canto. Then in the end, he gave another elaborate notes containing additional comments on that chapter, on different verses. So they are basically taken from different commentaries of Acharyas, Madhvacharya, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, etc. Anyway, I am not going to take some comments from Acharyas, but some comments on different verses. This is not series in sequence. I didn't get time to attend classes last 2 days. I was busy with some other things, and I don't know what are the comments which are done. And I didn't get time also to ask Giridhar Gopinath yesterday evening. But anyway, I'll make some comments, maybe repetition, some may repeat also. So in the end of, towards the end of the purport to 19th verse, so you know 19th verse, so the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtras were shattered by the sound vibrated by different conchals of the Pandavas and Krishna. And Prabhupada writes that these symptoms were not visible. This did not happen with the Pandavas because of their faith in the protection of Krishna. So, Sagosho Dhritarashtranam Hradayani Vidarayat Nabasya Pratibim Chaiva Tumulobhyanunada. In the end, Srila Prabhupada, this is due to the Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna. One who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear, even in the midst of the greatest calamity. Even in the midst of greatest calamity, devotees doesn't have to fear of anything. So, they had faith in the protection of Krishna. This is called, there are six limbs of surrender. You see, the ultimate conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharmam paritajya mamekam sharanam raja. Surrender to Krishna. Practically, we can see that surrender in the lives of Pandavas. And all the great devotees who are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, I was explaining in Gaur Purnima day that how surrender is very important in our devotional life. Sometimes we talk about love of Godhead, but actually, and we also see that, we also read Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute love of Godhead. Therefore, he is called as Namo Mahavadanyaya. What they are doing? Someone is talking inside. Who are they? He is not well or what is? Not well. Oh. Some treatment, some medication. Okay, so coming back to the point. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most magnanimous incarnation. Namo Mahavadanya, most munificent avatara. So, he is most magnanimous. Why he is magnanimous? Krishna Prema Pradayate. He is distributing love of Godhead very easily. That's why he is munificent, most magnanimous to the people of Kali Yuga. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada often described Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach Saranagati. So what is the relation between he came to teach Saranagati or distribute love of Godhead? So the question may arise. The point is that Saranagati is a precursor to love of Godhead. Without Saranagati, we will not attain love of God. It is very important. Shadanga Saranagati Shikai Bhakatera Prana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. Prabhupada often used to tell, Krishna told, surrender unto me, but most of the people misunderstood that. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to practically demonstrate how to surrender to Krishna. So like that he says. So love of Godhead is there, but Sharanagati is very important. And Prabhupada quoted this verse, Sarvadharmam Paritajam, maximum number of times. That is the essence of his teaching. Sharanagati, Sharanagati, Sharanagati. Surrender, 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 surrender. So one aspect of surrender is, anyway, these things I wanted to discuss in 18th verse, but somehow it came now. 18th chapter, 66 verse. So here, Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna, due to Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna. Confidence. So this is third anga of Sharanagati. Rakshishyati iti vishvaso. There are six limbs of surrender. Accepting anukulyasa sankalpo, accepting those things which are favorable for devotional service. Rejecting those things which are not favorable for devotional service. Having confidence that Krishna will protect. Here, that is a thing. Confidence in Lord Krishna. And, right, in 19.1.19 purport, this is due to Pandavas, their confidence in Lord Krishna. Then a third, fourth is, Gopritve Varnam Tata. That means, so accepting Krishna as one's maintainer, or in other words, depending on Krishna for everything. So that is surrender. For instance, this modern occupations, they will not bring us to the platform of surrender to Krishna. They will take us away from surrendering to Krishna. Because our dependence on will be some MNCs, right or not? Not on Krishna. We are not dependent. Previously, Vedic culture, Vedic society was based, agro-based, and it was directly dependent on Krishna and Krishna's nature. When Krishna will send rain, when he will give suitable climate where our grain will grow. So everything was dependent on Krishna's sanctioning. Of course, now also Krishna only is the sanctioner. But in between, some other agents come and take us far away from Krishna. So therefore, it is very difficult to become God conscious in modern socio-economic system. So, and as conditioned souls, as we are embodied souls, body needs all this socio-economic system. So it becomes difficult to become Krishna conscious. Anyway, coming back to the point that Krishna is, we'll discuss these things. I'm going on talking on that. So the point is accepting Krishna as our maintainer. And fourth is self-surrender. Fifth is self-surrender, Atmanikshepa. And sixth is Karpanya, feeling oneself very meek and humble. So our interest of discussion here is Rakshishati Iti Vishwaso, having confidence that Krishna is our, he will protect us. That confidence is Vishwasa. Again, the point is Vishwasa is also part of Sakya Bhakti. You know, there are Navavida Bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedam. These are nine. Nine limbs of devotional service. So Navavida Bhakti. In that Sakyam is there. Sakyam and Atmanivedanam are very advanced. So Sakyam means friendship. There is difference between Sakya Rasa and this Sakyam in Navavida Bhakti. In five rasas, there is Sakya Rasa. And this Sakyam in Navavida Bhakti is different. Both are different. So this is Sadhana Bhakti, then that is Bhava and Prema Bhakti, that is. Rasa means Prema. Relationship has developed there. So are awakened there. So this is Sadhana Bhakti. In Sakya, also again there are two divisions. One is Maitri and Vishwasa. So Maitri means becoming well-wisher of Krishna. How we become well-wisher of Krishna? Krishna is the well-wisher of all the living. And Suhrudam Sarva Bhutana. So how devotee becomes well-wisher of Krishna? So in the material world, everyone is against God and God consciousness. So devotee, by preaching, he establishes the supremacy of the Lord in the material world. So in this way he becomes a well-wisher of Krishna. Generally Madhyamadhikaris do this. Therefore I was telling it is advanced. So anyway, again coming back to the point of another aspect of Sakyam is Vishwasa. Confidence, conviction, faith. Here it is confidence, the word is used by Srila Prabhupada. This is due to Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna. They were confident that Krishna will protect us. That therefore, they did not get any fear in their heart by the sound of conchal and drums. Now you may imagine such a great war is going on, right or not? So sometimes in modern days, you know, school students or college students, they go for interview, they will be in anxiety, what will happen, whether I will pass in. So this fear and anxiety was not there in Pandavas. So because of their confidence in Lord. Now America and Russia, for almost 50 years, they had Cold War after Second World War. Many devotees, who, you know, our devotees, ISKCON devotees, they come from America. They were telling how in their school days, that means in 60s they were in school, right? So Prabhupada went and started, in mid-60s Prabhupada went there and he started preaching there. That time they were all in school. And as soon as they heard any sound of any aeroplane coming, immediately they will go below the desks. Because, Russians are coming, Russians are coming, they are going to put a bomb. America is built on the principle, in God we trust. That is their foundational statement. Original founders of America, they had a motto, in God we trust. So, but are they preaching that? Are they practicing and preaching that? In God we trust. If they trust in God, Vishwasa, they have confidence in God, that why they will be scared of Russians? So, right? Pandavas, they have trust in Krishna. So they are not like Americans. Americans are non-devotees. They are rascals, that's all. So anyway, coming back to the point so here Vishwasa. So Rupa Goswami, when he was describing these angas of bhakti, Sakyam, he gave example of Draupadi. So Draupadi, he in Mahabharata, he says, this was told, this was told, Giridharagopana, didn't tell, no? So Draupadi, she says, Pratijnya tava Govinda Karishe, Pratijnya tava Govinda name bhakta pranashyati iti sansmritya sansmritya pranan samdhare yamyaham. So she says that because you have promised that your devotees will never perish, this we'll discuss again in the 9th chapter. So there Krishna says, Pratijnya name bhakta pranashyati, he says. We'll discuss this again. I'm making a point here because this has come here. So their confidence in Lord Krishna. So she says, because you have promised, your devotees will never perish. Remembering this again and again, iti samsmritya samsmritya, I am keeping my life alive. You can imagine what kind of tribulations and difficulties they underwent. So that's why Draupadi is praying like this. So many difficulties. Prabhupada, when he was commenting on this section in Nectar of Devotion, he gave summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So he says, what to speak, the great warrior and lifelong brahmachari. To be a great warrior and lifelong brahmachari, one has to be very hard, means he cannot be emotional and sentimental. So, warrior means he has to always see blood. He should take pleasure in seeing blood. That is warrior. So, and Bhishma had fought so many battles in his life. So he was a lifelong warrior, and whole life he remained a Brahadvrata, Bhishma. Bhishma means one who takes vow, great vow. He is called as Bhishma because he took a great vow to stay brahmachari throughout life. So for a kshatriya it is not so easy because they are under mode of passion. Of course, we all know that Bhishma is Mahajan and all that is different case, but from practical objective point of view, so we see that Bhishma was a kshatriya. For a brahmana to be a lifelong brahmachari is just common thing, very common and normal it is for him. It's just most of the brahmanas, so they stayed lifelong brahmacharis. And for kshatriya it is very difficult because of being in the mode of passion. So their activities, everything would be in mode of passion. They have to be angry, they have to be fighting, killing, and they would be surrounded by women and wealth. So which incite passion in one. So therefore, it is not so easy to be a brahmachari. Such a person, Prabhupada says, when he was lying down on the bed of the arrows, Pandavas went to meet him. And he was crying, "Oh, my dear grandsons, how much difficulties you had to undergo." So like that he was crying, such a person, tears came in. Such a hard-hearted person. Hard-hearted means non-sentimental, non-emotional person. Better to use those terms. Hard-hearted means, generally devotees won't be hard-hearted. We also know that Bhishma is hard-hearted. So non-sentimental, non-emotional Bhishma Deva so also started crying by seeing the Pandavas. So how much difficulties you had to undergo. So still they kept alive. Now you see, if someone undergoes so many difficulties, what they will do in the normal society? People commit suicide, right? Commit suicide. But they kept their life alive because of their confidence in Krishna. This is called as Vishwas. So this is Bhakti. This is Sakyam means. One should, or this is Sharanagati. One who is surrendered, he will have faith in Krishna. Conviction in Krishna will protect them. So this is confidence. And this Pandavas, because of this confidence in Krishna, they are not feeling any fear when all these conchals are blown. And it's not so that, oh, Pandavas were great. Of course, Arjuna was a great warrior, but it's not that it was so easy. We see Parikshit Maharaj in 10th canto of Bhagavatam, he says, so Kurukshetra war, Kurukshetra battlefield was like an ocean it was. And there were so many big, big Timingilas, sharks. Timingilas means they would be like, their weight is like 200 elephants. That is Timingilas. They can swallow elephants also. That is Timingila. So, Timingilas, I don't know what they say in English. They may not be aware about all these things also. Because many of the Shastric terms, Shastric, many of the animals, birds which are described in the scriptures, they are modern day people, they are not aware of. So, like there is one animal called Sharaba in Mahabharata. Many places in Ramayana and all it comes. So, Sharaba, who knows that? They don't know, no? Right or not. Many of the things they don't know, people. So, these Shastric terms, they don't know. So,
they never seen this kind of...
So, there is one in 5th canto, Shena bird, 5th canto of Bhagavatam, there is, which flies from one planet to another planet. And while flying only, it gives birth. So, and it can swallow elephants, Prabhupada, you know, it is mentioned there. And Prabhupada gives example, we have seen one eagle swallowing in our childhood, like that Prabhupada says, swallowing a monkey, he says. That means they were there. They are there, not where. You have to be careful, huh? Going in the jungle, huh? Right. We don't know what is there where, huh? We don't know, no, right? So, anyway, coming back to the point, So, it was not so easy, Kurukshetra battlefield. It was great Timingila, sharks, like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, etc. But my grandfather Arjuna crossed over by the protection, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, like that. He says, even Krishna, Arjuna himself, he said this in the first canto of Bhagavatam, 15th chapter, you know, he was telling to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said that. So, again and again it comes in Bhagavatam. It was not so easy, it was. So, and Prabhupada also in the first chapter, 10th verse, he says, in front of Bhishma, Bhima was a fig, he says. Just insignificant, very insignificant. Madhavas will not accept that. they are followers of Vayu. They promote Vayu a lot. They make almost like a god, actually. That's the problem with Madhava Sampradaya. They have to be careful with that, no? Right or not? More than they promote Madhvacharya, more as Vayu than he is a pure devotee, actually. That's a danger, no? In a Sampradaya. It is danger. Because they will make a demigod. That will come to the point of impersonalism. Demigod is like a god, no? Right? So, that's risky. Of course, even promoting guru like God is also risky. Although we have to respect him like a God, we should also know that he is a jiva tattva. Coming back to the point that this was their vishwasa. So, fear is result of being in Maya. I wrote something on this. Fear is result of being in Maya, considering and accepting shelter of something other than Krishna. We think in one place it will come in Bhagavad Gita. we think that there is something, it's an illusion caused by, fear is an illusion caused by, there is something other than Krishna. That illusion causes us fear. Right? There is some other force, something in this. See, ultimately everything is Krishna. Whether it is Maya also, it is Krishna's energy. Right? But we think there is something separate from Krishna, other than Krishna. So therefore, that causes fear in our heart. This is the main cause of Bhayam Dvitiya Vinivesayat Syat. One of the meanings of that verse. So cause of material fear. This came in a... This verse was quoted in 1.30, I think. 29 or 30. 29. 30. Yeah. 29. 1.30. Bhayam Dvitiya Vinivesayat Syat. So this is one comment. Then later we see that. In 1.21-22 verses are together. So Rupa Goswami described in there, Krishna says, Krishna addresses Arjuna, Arjuna addresses Krishna as, what is that name of Krishna?
Achyuta.
So what is the meaning of Achyuta there in that verse? What is the literal meaning of Achyuta and what is the significance there in that verse? Literal meaning and the meaning there in that verse. One who is infallible, one who does not fall down from his position. This is literal meaning. And the meaning in that verse is? Yeah, one who does not fail in giving affection to his devotees. So basically it's a bhakta, one who does not fail in bhakta vatsalta. So bhakta vatsalta is described there. Now bhakta vatsalta of Lord Krishna is described there. Throughout Bhagavad Gita we'll see that Lord Krishna shows so much affection for his devotees. And especially it is, anyone knows where especially very elaborately Bhakta Vatsalta of verse by verse, verse after verse it is described in Bhagavad Gita. Bhakta Vatsalta. Where it is described. Ninth chapter where? Yogakshemam Yejana Paryupasate Tesham Nite Abhyuktana Yogakshemam Vahamyaham. So you see, that is the main verse of Bhakta Vatsalta, Krishna's. And then after that, 29th verse, that verse, Name Bhakta Pranashyati, that is. So basically from Yogakshemam till the end, is especially that symptom Krishna's quality of Bhakta Vatsalta is revealed more than any place in Bhagavad Gita. Throughout Bhagavad Gita it is revealed, but there it is revealed more. And here also in 21st chapter, that is Rupa Goswami, he describes out of the 64 qualities of Krishna, one of the qualities is Bhakta Suhrat, well-wisher of devotees. He is friendly. There is one verse from Vishnu Dharma. It is there in Vishnu Dharma also, and it is there in Gautamiya Tantra also. Anyone, give me that first canto of Bhagavatam. So this verse, Rupa Goswami quoted that verse there. That verse begins with Tulasi Dhala Matrena Chulush Chulkenava. Bhaktascha Bhaktavat Salaha. How it? In between line, I am forgetting. So that verse defines how Lord Krishna is Bhaktavat Salaha. So, see, well-wisher of devotees. he defines who is well wisher. Surata. So he is well wisher of devotees, friendly to devotees in two ways. One is he is easily served, and he becomes a friend of his servant. This is Bhakta Surat. Two points he says. Very technical, no? Rupa Goswami is very technical, you know, very precisely defines everything. So Bhakta Surat means, he says, there are two aspects of that. One is that he is very easily pleased by the devotees. He becomes easily pleased. Lord Shiva is called as Ashutosh, no? Ashutosh because he is very easily pleased, Lord Shiva is. But Lord Krishna is also very easily pleased. Unless it is there in, this quality is there in Lord Krishna, it will not come in Lord Shiva, right or not? Krishna is the source of everything. So Lord Krishna is also very easily pleased. And second aspect of his well-wisher of, his being well-wisher of devotees is, he is friend of his servant. He becomes friend of his servant. Now you see, in material society, they don't, you know, master and servant, they will not master maintains some certain level of what they call as dignity, you know, certain level, you know. So, but here Lord Krishna, he becomes friend of his servant. Now for how Lord is being easily pleased, he quotes this verse from Gautamiya Tantra and Vishnu Dharma, which is there in both the places. So, tulasi dala matrena jalasya chulukena va. So, that means, just by tulasi dala matra, you know, just by offering one tulasi dala, leaf of a tulasi tree, and little water, Lord Krishna becomes pleased. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to call Krishna to this world, when Advaita Acharya wanted to call Krishna to appear in this world, he remembered this verse. And he offered a little Ganga water, because, you know, he was living in Shantipur on the bank of the Ganges. And little tulasi leaves. Leaf. In this way, he pleased Lord Krishna, and by being pleased with him, so he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to appear, or Krishna decided to appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And being a friend of his servant, so Rupa Goswami quoted a prayer of Bhishma Dev, which we will be which we will be reading a lot in Bhagavad Gita, in our discussion of Bhagavad Gita. Swanigamam apahayamat pratijnyam ratam adikartam avalupta ratastah dhritahrata charanobhyayashaladgur haririvahantum ibam gatottariyah. This verse is 1.9.37, Bhishma's prayers. Fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up its wheel and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. You know this picture is there, no? Picture, you know, in ISKCON we have picture this. Lord Krishna has taken the chariot, and because, you see, Krishna had promised that I will never take up weapons in this battle of Kurukshetra. He had done promise before the war began. And now Bhishma, he took a vow, I'll make Lord to break his promise. Like that. Just to fulfill the vow of his devotee, what he did? He broke his own promise. There is other reason for also that. We'll discuss this. Again, this verse we'll be discussing little later in 9th. So in this way, Krishna becomes friend of his servant. Because Bhishma Deva is also his servant, right? So although he is now fighting on the opposite side in the battlefield of Kurukshetra for many reasons. So one is that he had taken a vow that he will support anyone who will sit on the anyone who will sit on the throne of Hastinapur. He didn't know that this rascal Duryodhana is going to come in the future. So therefore he had to support Dhritarashtra and his sons in the battlefield. And he is in Dasya Rasa. Dasya Rasa means he is a devotee in Dasya Rasa, Bhishma Dev. And he wants to give pleasure to Krishna in fighting. So that is another Gauna Rasa also, chivalry. Gauna Rasa, what is that called in Sanskrit? I don't know, chivalry. Sahasa, I think, right?
Virya,
chivalry in English. In Sanskrit it is Virya Rasa, it is called. One of the seven Gauna Rasas, secondary Rasas. So through this way he is serving Lord, right? So apparently he is in opposite side, but he is service to the Lord. So this is how devotional service is a mystery, it is. So in this way, Krishna's affection, now he has become servant of Arjuna here. So not only friend of his servant, so he has become servant of his servant. So this is spiritual world. Master also becomes servant of the Lord, devotees. Okay, so we'll discuss this Bhakta Vatsalya in more detail. But this also comes in 1.22 to 21.22 purport. Because Arjuna addresses Krishna as. So then, before that I wanted to talk something about it. Anyway, so then there are stories also. And you see there, Arjuna says that I want to know. So Arjuna is telling Senayo Rubayor Madhe Ratam Stape Mechuta Yavadeta Nirikshaham Yodukama Navastitan Kair Maya Saha Yodavyam Asmin Ranis Samudyame. And then he says the third Yochamana Navekshaham Yeyatetra Samagata Dartarashtra Sedurbudhe Yudhe Priya Chakirshavaha. Where is that in the purport? In the first 21, 22nd only purport, Prabhupada, he says, obstinate. How Duryodhana? As a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna had no desire to fight with his cousins and brothers, but he was forced to come onto the battlefield by the obstinacy of Duryodhana, who was never agreeable to any peaceful negotiation. So here obstinate means, who is obstinate? You see, there are many negative attitudes in Kauravas. So from Kauravas we can understand, I am not using the term learn here. So we can understand many negative attitudes which we should avoid. And from Pandavas we can learn many positive attitudes which we should learn. Like in the beginning now, you see, which we are discussing, confidence in the Lord, that is a positive attitude which we should develop. Attitude means, you understand? I don't know, in Indian languages it is called Manobhav or Manovrati, like that. Manobhav. So, it's very important, attitudes, right? Prabhupada often spoke about these things also. In Upadeshamrita introduction he says, that Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. What attitudes we have, right? So it depends on the attitude of the follower. Or in one more place he says, Krishna consciousness is a matter of attitude, he says, Srila Prabhupada. Now sometime we would be having bad attitudes. So we have one Gurukula boy. If you immediately find out some mistakes, immediately put that mistake on others. Right? So anyway. Everyone is looking at each other here. right. And sometimes if you tell, if you ask why you make this, immediately they give some reason and try to escape, right, without accepting their fault, sometimes. So these are all negative attitudes which we should avoid. And we should learn positive attitudes of the Pandavas. Like you see in the beginning, so Dronacharya was liberal in giving, distributing knowledge of Dhanurveda. Very liberal. Although he knew that. So Drishtadyumna is going to kill him, but still he gave him. So he was so liberal, even at the cost of one's life. Can a Brahmana be like that? Can a person, anyone, can one of us be imagined like that? Alright. So if some sweet is less, first everything should be served to us, so later we'll see about others like that. Alright. So, he is at the cost of his death, his life, at the cost of his life he is giving this knowledge. He was so liberal in giving knowledge. Why this? We have come to this place for not. This is one bad attitude, is keeping attached to mobile. You are not attached, mistakenly you have brought a... I'm taking advantage of the situation. Okay, so... coming back to the point of all these qualities, diplomacy should be avoided, Duryodhana's diplomacy, and Dhritarashtra's attachment to one's children, relatives. So because of attachment, you see, Dhritarashtra, although so many people instructed him, when Duryodhana was about to be born or took birth, that time only Vidura told, just kill this child. This is a serpent which is going to destroy this family. This Duryodhana is a very, poisonous serpent which is going to sting and destroy this family. Kill him. In Vedic culture, killing children is not at all acceptable. Abortion, no question of abortion. So, right or not, Vedic culture gives protection to five, women, children, brahmanas, old people and cows. That is civilization. Prabhupada often said, human civilization begins with this protection. So, but for that protection is also means subtle. Woman's chastity and children's hope, future should be protected by training them in dharma and spiritual self-realization. Their human life will be wasted, no? Right or not? In fact, misguiding is more violence than actually performing violence by any weapons. So, whole modern society is just exploiting each other. Children are exploited, women are exploited, men are exploited. This job is, what is this? Job in IT company, what is this nonsense? Such a nonsense it is. They work hard like donkeys, we are just discussing. So we were comparing them with the businessmen. Businessmen, at least they do some... Of course, we are not encouraging black money, but they do black money and these guys, they would be just laboring day and night in the companies, IT companies. We were just discussing among the ITs, IT wallahs, they won't have any black money in them. They, whatever they earn by laboring there, that is what is their income. So it's nonsense. It's an exploitation. So anyway, coming back to the point, diplomacy, material attachment. So Dhritarashtra, he was instructed by Vidura, instructed by Krishna, instructed by Vyasadeva, instructed by Akrura. So many people instructed him, but he never understood. Understood in a sense, he understood, he told, I cannot, because I am attached to my son, he says. So when we are attached to someone who is connected to this body and bodily conception of life, then we will not be able to do what we are supposed to do in life. So Dhritarashtra could not do, he could not do justice to Pandavas. his own family members, and the result was a great catastrophe in the form of Kurukshetra war. So coming back, this is, and diplomacy, diplomatic nature, lying should be avoided. Telling lies. Vaishyas are called as a Papa Yoni in 9th chapter because they have to tell lie. They cannot earn their livelihood without telling lie actually. But the problem is that that becomes a nature, it is nature of Vaishyas. In devotional service it can be dangerous, detrimental. Telling lies. Okay, coming back to the point of attitudes, okay. So in this way we should learn all these attitudes. And Duryodhana, obstinacy, he was so obstinate. He is never agreeable to any peaceful negotiation, Duryodhana. So we should not be obstinate, holding onto our points. So in the first verse, Dhritarashtra was worried that this Kurukshetra, being a holy place, Dharmakshetra, would influence on his sons to make compromise with Pandavas. Due to the influence of the holy place, they may change their mind, their demonic nature may go away, they may become sattvic, right? So, they may like that, So, in this way, he was very worried, fearful. Now, in fear, he asked that question. Generally, that kind of question is not expected in the battlefield, because peacemaking, negotiation, all these things will happen before they go to battlefield. Once they go to battlefield, they will just fight, that's all, nothing else. No more question of peacemaking, nothing. All those things will happen before, right? In Mahabharata also we see that all Krishna went personally as a messenger and tried to negotiate, but he didn't. So here Prabhupada, he is writing in 21st, 22nd. In first verse also, this is connection, first verse also. There is no question of peacemaking. But of course, Dhritarashtra was fearful that Krishna is present there and it is a holy place, Dharmakshetra. Therefore, it may influence the Kauravas, and out of fear, he wanted them to be wiped. He wanted Pandavas to be wiped out, Prabhupada says. He didn't want any compromise. There is no question of making compromise on the battlefield. Of course, it was valid. Dhritarashtra's fear was valid. But here Prabhupada is telling, although there was no question of a peacemaking endeavor on the battlefield, he wanted to see them again and to see how much they were bent upon demanding an unwanted war. In 21st, 22nd verse, Prabhupada. So Arjuna is, there is no question of peacemaking. Why peacemaking will happen before that? So of course here the internal reason is that Krishna wants to put Arjuna into illusion now. He wants to bewilder him. Therefore he is encouraging from within Arjuna that you should go in the midst of both the armies, and by looking at Bhishma and Drona you should melt like that. Internally Krishna is inspiring. Being sitting in the heart. But Prabhupada is putting it like that. There is no question of peacemaking endeavor on the world. He wanted to see them again, to see how much they were bent upon. And why he wants to see also, that also is questionable. Why he wants to see actually? He is again and again telling here, I want to see. He has already observed, he is ready to fight, shoot arrows. Now again he wants to see means what is that? This is all Krishna's game, it is here. Krishna is playing. So how Krishna is putting his devotee into illusion, you see. He is ready to shoot arrows. What is their question? They have observed. They are already, observation has done it. Duryodhana did observation. And for that, why he has to go in the midst of the both the armies? You can. Duryodhana did not come in the midst of both the armies to see what is happening. Who have come? Why he has to go in the middle of the both the armies? You see, first in the beginning, drashtva tu pandavani kam yudam duryodhana stathav. Duryodhana also drashtva. Drashtva means he also saw. He did not come in the middle of the both the armies to see what who has come to fight, or to measure the strength of the army, opposite army. He did not come, right? But Arjuna wants to go, why? So it is Krishna's plan, it is. Krishna, Arjuna wants to bring Krishna in front of Drona and Bhishma in the middle of the army. And of course, later another point is, he wants to speak Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of everyone. That day we were discussing, Bhagavad Gita is meant for everyone. That was spoken in the middle of both the armies. So that is another reason why he wants to take the battlefield, take the chariot of Arjuna in the middle of the both the armies. He is inspiring Arjuna to speak these words. These are some other comments. And then, in 1.23, so it is told that, what it's told? Yochamana nevekshehaṁ ye yetetra samāgataha dhātarāstrasya durbuddhir yuddhe priya chikirshava. So dhātarāstrasya durbuddhir, Arjuna is saying that this wicked-minded, evil-minded durbuddhi, this is another bad quality which we have to, attitude which we have to avoid. We should not have durbuddhi. Evil-minded. Evil-minded means thinking always bad for others. Or thinking of doing bad for others. Thinking bad about others and thinking to do something bad to others. This is evil-mindedness. Dhartharashtrasya durbuddhir. Duryodhana was always evil-minded, right? He wanted something bad to happen for Pandavas. He wanted to always wipe out Pandavas. So, and he wanted to take away all their wealth and their rightful kingdom. So it was an open secret. Duryodhana wanted to usurp the kingdom of Pandavas by evil plans in collaboration with his father Dhritarashtra. So he had made collaboration with his father Dhritarashtra. This is evil-mindedness, durbuddhi of Dhritarashtra. Now in Ishopanishad it is told, first verse only, what it says, tell Ishopanishad first verse. Kujibihari. What is the verse, Ishopanishad first verse? You know Ishopanishad? Tell. Isha Vashamidam. Tell, no? Don't know? You don't know. That was all these things you have to memorize. So much you all have to memorize. Isha Vashamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagatena Tektena Bunjita Magradakasya Svidhanam. Everything belongs to Isha, Supreme Lord. Now you see, king is supposed to be Naradeva, representative of God in a human society. He should rule the kingdom on behalf of God, not that, oh, this is my kingdom, right? So, on behalf of the Lord. So then this durbuddhi will not come, evil-mindedness will not come. This is all because of material attachment. So Dhritarashtra and his sons are attached to material wealth. So therefore they have evil-mindedness, attached to this body, physical body and bodily connections. So immediately evil-mindedness comes. This is the cause of evil-mindedness, bodily conception of life, bodily attachment. So therefore it is told in Ishopanishad, everything belongs to Lord, Supreme Lord. And one should accept only those things which are sanctioned as one's quota. In other words, one should not try to usurp others' property, others' kingdom. So, now Duryodhana, due to his evil-mindedness, he wanted to usurp. So, but this is not a very advanced consciousness.
those who are in advanced consciousness, those who are actually learned in the Shastra, Brahmanas and Panditas, so they will not think of usurping others' property. You see, no, that Chanakya Pandita, he says, Matravat Paradareshu, Paradravveshu Lostravat, Atmavat Sarvabhuteshu, Yapashati Sa Panditaha. Who is Pandita? He defines. One of the elements is that he thinks others' property as garbage. So for him, he will not think of, as soon as he sees some wealth and property, he will not desire to usurp that. That is Brahmana, that is learned person. So Duryodhana is evil minded here. Okay, coming. And then in 1.27 he becomes overwhelmed by Swajanam, by seeing Swajana. Swajana word comes there. So Tan Samiksha Sakaunteya Sarvan Bandhu Navastitan. Than samiksha. Samiksha means seeing, after seeing. Sarvan bandhu navasthitan. Krapaya parabaya vishtu. He became overwhelmed by material affection. Seeing his sarvan bandhu. Sarvan means all kinds of bandhus. All kinds of bandhus are described in that 26th verse. Navasthitan. Who is that? Pitrin, Pitamahan, Acharyan, Matulan, Bratrin. Putran, Pautran, Sakim, Shasuran, Surudas, Chaiva. Not only both the sides, Senayor, Ubayor, Api. On the both the sides. So he became overwhelmed by affection. Okay, coming back to 27th point. And then in 1.40, where there are, oh, before the 1.36. So he says, there are there are some verses there. He says that because of fear of sin, of killing these relatives, Atatayis. So he hesitated to fight in the battle. In the purport, Prabhupada, he quotes, according to Vedic injunction, basically there are two verses. One is from Vasishta Smriti and another is from Manusmriti. So Vasishta Smriti 3.19 says the six kinds of aggressors. Agnido Gharadashaiva Shastra Pranir Dhanapaha Kshetra Dharapaharicha Shadetyaha Atatainaha Agnido Garadashaiva. So these are six kinds of Atatais. So one who sets fire, Prabhupada puts the second one as first in that purport. So you all see that. So he says, so he puts second one as first, Garadashaiva, a poison giver, one who sets fire to the house, one who attacks with deadly weapons, one who plunders riches, one who occupies another's land, and one who kidnaps a wife. Then, Atatayinam, then Manusruti says, Atatayin ayantham hanyad evavi charayan. Nata thai vade dosho hantur bhavati kashanaha. So this is Manu Shruti. At once they should be killed. There is no sin incurred. Dosho hantur bhavati kashana. There is no kashana, means there is no question. Na atatai vaded. Vade. So if you kill atatais, there is no dosha, it is told. So there is no question. So Arjuna wanted Arjuna, he is saying, you see, now although it is told in the Vedas that killing such atatais is killing such atatais is not acceptable. So can give that. So killing atatais is not acceptable. Killing atatais, it is good to kill them. There is no doubt in that. So no dosha, no sin will incur by killing them. Now why Arjuna is saying that if you kill such kind of atatais, we will incur sin? They are relatives. And in Dharma Shastras, some acharyas give a comment on that. And Prabhupada, he puts it there. On the saintly grounds, he wanted to. And later in 1.11, we will discuss that more. In 1.11, Prabhupada says that. On religious grounds, he says. Here he just puts it as saintly grounds. On the grounds of saintliness, he says. And he clears it up in 2.11 purport. Ashochananvasochasam. Pradnyavadam Shabasasekatasam. So on religious grounds, he didn't want to fight. We will discuss that there. Why that is quoted there. Why Prabhupada is explaining that. So Prabhupada, he says that on religious grounds, Arjuna didn't want. That means Arjuna knew the religious principles, that these are special kinds of atatais. So by killing them, so one will incur sin. So in Yajnavalkya Samhita or Yajnavalkya Smriti, it is told that so Dharma Shastra's opinion of Dharma Shastra should be considered as higher than the opinions of Dharma Shastra, Arthashastras. You see, according to Arthashastra, one can kill the sinner, the satatais. So, but according to Dharma Shastra, if they are kind of special, kind of atatais like this, Kauravas, who are relatives, they should not be killed, it is mentioned. So therefore, on religious grounds, Arjuna didn't want to kill them. So, in this way. But the point here is that Krishna is sanctioning this. And Krishna wants this. This battle to happen. So so therefore one should not hesitate to fight in this battle. Now coming to the point, now you are talking about Dharma Shastra. You are talking about Artha Shastra, you are talking about Dharma Shastra. Arjuna was posing himself as very learned in Vedic literature. But he cannot be more learned than Krishna, right or not? So, what are you laughing? So you like this point, huh? So Arjuna is posing oneself as more learned than Krishna. Now Krishna is father of Dharma. He is the father of Dharma, right or not? In the first verse only Prabhupada mentioned that. The father, the supreme father of religion. And Krishna himself comes to establish Dharma. And he wants this fight to be happen. And Arjuna posing himself as more learned than Krishna. He is telling that we should not kill such atatais, like that he says. So, okay. Now coming to, there is one more comment on 2.31. So, of course that is, yeah, coming to the point that Arjuna is speaking about Shreya. Nacha Shreyonu Pashami Hatva Svajanamahave Nakamshe Vijayam Krishna Nacha Rajam Sukanicha. I am not seeing any Shreya in this battle, he says. We know, no? Yesterday Giridhara Gopinath Prabhu must have told. He is talking about Shreya, but actually he doesn't know what is Shreya. Right? And what to speak of Shreya, he doesn't even know Preya also. Right? That's why that verse is quoted there from Parashara Smriti. That those warriors who die on the battlefield and those sannyasis, they enter into sal planet. They go to heavenly planet. Alright, that is immediate prey of a kshatriya actually, if he fights. Shreya is ultimate, that is love of Godhead. So, in due to frustration, in blind material attachment, when we are attached, we forget our Shreya. What is our ultimate goal of life? Right? So, this is due to material attachment. So, in fact, due to material attachment, we forget even what is our immediate happiness also. So, now you see in modern days, people have forgotten all ultimate goal of life. Shreya they have forgotten. And due to material attachment to so-called sense gratification, they have even forgotten the immediate material happiness also. Because of there is no varnashrama system in the society. So people, they do not know, most of them, they do not know that they, even material point of view also they are not happy, right or not? See, where is the good food to eat, eating? Where is the, they are working in the night, where is sleep? Where is sex life also? Right or not? They have divorce and, right? And even if they want to have many children and many wives, they cannot have, legally it is not allowed. No sex life. No security, anything of future security, because all paper money. Anything, any banks can become bankrupt and anything. So they have forgotten even prayer also, they do not know what is prayer. So in this way, idiot way, they thought that they are proud of this society, liberal society, we don't have any rules and regulations, we are not bound by any religious laws, rules and regulations. We want to be a free society. We want to free birds, live and let others live, like that. That is their motto. And American, you know, one of the, I was telling one foundation, important foundational statement of America was, in God we trust. And another thing was the freedom is the basis on which America is built, like that they say. Freedom, Prabhupada in the Parpade, one who thinks himself independent. In the introduction only he says, no, he is a fool number one, like that. Prabhupada, we read that, no? Right? Such foolish they are. So they don't know immediate happiness also, this so-called liberal society. In Vedic culture, they lived a very regulated, sense gratificatory life. They were more happier than this so-called material, so-called happy society, liberal society. They do not know even. Now, among devotees also, if you become attached to something material, this body, bodily relatives, especially young boys and brahmacharis, so if you become attached to mother, father, parents, then we will forget even our immediate happiness also. So, what will bring immediate happiness also? Now, for instance, a brahmachari is there, or a young boy is there. He thinks that, oh, let me serve my parents and let me leave brahmachari ashram or not join brahmachari ashram. Let me serve my parents, remain in the home with them. And I'll get married to... If you remain in the home, means you have to get married. You cannot be in between hanging ashram. Some bachelor ashram, sometimes they have newly created that. Between brahmachari ashram and grahastha ashram. Bachelor ashram. They have created a new ashram nowadays. Some people, they remain like that throughout, without marrying them. Either they want to submit themselves to Guru in Brahmachari ashram, submit themselves to authorities in Brahmachari ashram. They want some independent life and they don't want to take responsibility of family life also. In between they want to be. So this will bring debauchery in human society. So I have seen even apparently some so-called strong devotees also, later they are at the age of 55, they are thinking of getting married. So we used to make fun of middle-aged bridegroom. Now we have to make fun of old-age bridegrooms. Right. 55 means old age, it is almost right. So when we are supposed to retire from family life, now they are getting married at that time. Anyway, that is a different thing. So then you have to get married. You'll get married. Then wife will come. And nowadays most of the girls in ISKCON initiated Mataji's. initiated Mataji's also, they don't want to serve parents now. So so this boy, his immediate prayer was what it was? Immediate benefit was to serve his parents. He went and joined Brahmagrastha Ashram. He got married to initiated Mataji. And then he ended up fighting with his parents, or throwing parents out of the home. So we forget our immediate. We don't know how we can benefit to one's parents, to the society, community, and for ourselves, our own self. So neither we know Shreya nor we know Preya. Arjuna was also, he was talking Shreya, but he didn't know Shreya. He didn't know Shreya. He's just talking. Nacha Shreya no Pashyami, he says, but he didn't know what is Shreya. He didn't know that Shreya, fighting is Preya also and Shreya also both. In this way, we should know, we should not become blind. So most of us are, we are in the same situation like Arjuna. We do not know, we do not want Shreya also, and we do not want, we don't know what is Preya also. So serving Krishna is all auspicious. Dedicating your life to Krishna is all auspicious. It will bring auspiciousness to everyone. Rupa Goswami, that's why one of the characteristics of bhakti he defined as Shubhada. Shubhada, it is all, it is the highest welfare activity for everyone. And sometimes we have to sacrifice our prayer for serving higher cause. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will discuss that a little bit today in second chapter. He told Indians to dedicate your life to spread the mission, make your life successful. That is responsibility given by. We'll discuss. We have to sacrifice. If there is no element of sacrifice, then that is not a human life. Like trees, you know, they sacrifice, right? They sacrifice. Their very existence is meant for sacrifice. Even when they die, their firewood used is, their body is used as firewood. They give shelter, they give fruits, they give flowers. They give shade. They give some, you know, beauty. They give, you know, what is it called, like aesthetic sense or happiness. They give it to us. You understand aesthetic, aestheticism, you know, aestheticism. Aesthetic means, you know, aesthetic means happiness of natural beauty. That is called as aesthetics means those who enjoy, and aestheticism means enjoying that. So, right, we all want to make this place green, right? This is aestheticism. But for sannyasi, that is also sense gratification. Anyway, that's different together. So, anyway, nachashrayavanu pashyami. He didn't know that. And again, coming back to, so any other verses are there before this? Okay, so coming back to 1.40, so there it is told about Varna Sankara, how Varna Sankara makes, so Jayate Varna Sankara is born due to destruction of Dharma and pollution of womanlyhood. So Prabhupada defines Varna Sankara is that human society, that population, that section of the population are human beings who are not fit to take part in Varnashrama. Now we are finding difficulty to establish Varnashrama, like one devotee was telling me. Now in our movement we have established ashramas. According to me, that also is not established, according to me actually. If you want to go a little deeper sense and real sense, but we have not established, you know, varnas, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriyas. Actually, if you establish ashramas, immediately varnas also will manifest. Of course, in fact, varna comes first and ashrama comes next, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, So because based on Varna we will identify which ashram he will be in, right or not. If he is in Brahmana we can push him into. So stay throughout life, just be in Brahmacharya ashram, don't get married like that, right. So or we can tell him later to Vanaprastha and take sannyas. Because for Brahmana sannyasa is must, it is. And then for a Kshatriya, so they can get married. They can get married to many wives, no problem. They can go. So they can take Vanaprastha in the end. So they don't take sannyas generally. We have never seen any example. Except one example is Vidura, you know. He was, but in one sense he is not even Kshatriya, he was a son of a maid servant. He is a special case. He is a Mahajan, of course. So Kshatriyas were taking sannyas. In Bhagavatam they went to forest and they left their bodies there. That is Vanaprastha. So then Vaishyas, some aristocratic Vaishyas may take Vanaprastha and all. Otherwise they can go on throughout life. But they may come to, you know, and they get initiated Dvija. They become Dvijas. They will have gurus. They will have family priests, etc. But Shudra, no ashram for him. Shudra, no ashram. That's all. For him, just enjoy senses, no problem. But of course, they also serve the higher classes. So in this way, Varna, based on Varna's ashrama is also the. So Varnashrama, we are finding it difficult. So here basically Krishna is defining how Varnashrama collapses. So main reason is different, later Krishna will discuss that. Of course, that also includes the main reason. So one is that Dharma declines. And when dharma, kula dharma declines, then what happens? Woman will become polluted. And when woman become polluted, then the result will be all varna sankara. Right. So, in this way, Krishna is telling. Now, if you want to, you will get a clue here how to establish varnashrama. So, we have to increase dharma in the society. So, dharma means everyone should be trained to follow dharma. Now devotees are lacking the understanding of dharma. Most of the devotees, they are especially now in our movement it is an issue, you see. They have come to the point of even, they want to establish woman gurus and all kind of things. That means they are not understanding the importance of dharma in human society, in our own society. So, how we are going to establish Varnashram Dharma? If you make woman gurus, right or not? If everyone, man, woman, social dealings, devotees are also living in society, they are not living. They also need a social system. So, devotee social system means Krishna social system. Krishna social system is Varnashrama. And if Varnashrama, if you have to establish, then everyone has to play different roles. So, you may be on transcendental position, you can be a guru, but still, because to establish Varnashrama in the human society, in Vaishnava society, Vaishnava community, you have to play Varnashrama role also. So, it is important, right? And that is one thing from social point of view or communal point of view. But from individual point of view also, it is not that all our devotees are transcendental and no one has any material desires. Then why they are getting married? They have desire for sex life, right or not? They have desire for sex life. Then why they are not staying? Of course, sometime forcibly I don't want to push this. Don't get married. Otherwise, we may end up increasing debauchery in the society, right? So, debauchery in the society. So, or like Sahajiya Sampradaya. They may create Gopi Bhav Club, that Bhav Club, like that. They may start and do some nonsense, right? So some debauchery will. Either debauchery will happen, or they will get married, but they will not stay in married life because there is no strong foundational, you know, dharma is not there. Sense gratification is the center. So sense of dharma is not there. That's why there are so many divorce cases. Someone told me that often devotees discuss this. I don't know how much true it is. We have more divorce rate than outside, than in ISKCON, than outside. So that means these people are more so degraded. They are calling themselves as a transcendental. We are all Vaishnavas. Vaishnava is why we have to discriminate, why we have to have varnashrama, subdued role for women and all these things. So they are so degraded. They are more degraded than outside people. Prabhupada did not encourage, you know, divorce. He was strongly against divorce. There is only one case wherein Prabhupada allowed divorce, because he said, he justified that by saying that even if I stop him, he will anyway divorce his wife, and by disobeying my instructions, he will go to, by Guru Ravagya, he will go to hell. Better I allow him, like that he said. So he justified like that. So we didn't see that. We don't see that. And sometime Prabhupada gave sannyas, so many people, they could not maintain to that sannyas also. So basically social foundation is very weak. That is the point. So now they are not able to understand what to speak of establishing dharma actually. Right? We have to establish dharma within society, we have to establish dharma outside society, for broader society, so that they can come closer to Krishna. Because if they are following Krishna's system, then they will come closer to Krishna. So we have to establish varnashrama in broader society. If these people are not able to identify the necessity for themselves, why varnashrama is required, then what to speak of establishing that in broader society? So you see, necessity means it comes in importance. What is the importance of that system? So before implementing that, and then implementing within our society, then implementing that in broader society, so they are not able to understand. Now all these things Krishna is describing, Arjuna is scared of this Varna Sankara. Dangers. And Bhagavad Gita is ABCD of spiritual life. If we do not understand even ABCD, what Krishna Prema we are going to understand? What we are going to understand Chaitanya Charitamrita, what we are going to understand Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, if we do not understand even this basic, that too it is in first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. If human beings are so cats and dogs, like cats and dogs, so they will create hell in the society. So therefore, these are all very dangerous things. One should know the importance of this. So now Krishna is giving us clue. Arjuna is saying how it fell down, Varnashrama, how it collapses. So decrease in dharma and pollution of womanhood. These are the two basic points. Now we have to increase dharma and we have to so protect the purity, virginity of woman, then this Varnashrama society will be established. The more we do this, the more strongly we can establish Varnashrama Dharma. Now to increase dharma, how to increase dharma? We have to train everyone to follow dharma. Basically, like for example, if children are there, children, what is their dharma? Children, they are supposed to be brahmacharis. They are supposed to be in Gurukula. Instead of, if you send children to schools and colleges to become asuras, instead of making them dharmika, then how we are going to establish Varnashrama? How we are going to bring good population in the society? Right? So it is not possible. So that is very important point. So children should be in their occupation. Women should be trained to follow dharma, their dharma. That means Women should not go to school. If boys should not go to school, then why girls should go to school? We don't want boys to go to school. How can we can expect girls to go to school? So that means the woman should not go, should not have a career independent of father, you know, independent of husband. Separate career program. That means they should not be working job class. And then, so then men also, we stress about woman's dharma, stri dharma. Okay, there is a reason why we stress woman's dharma. Woman can follow dharma. But men also should be trained in dharma. Now generally people say dharma means what is that? It also includes our karma actually, occupation. Swadharmam api, in later in second chapter Krishna. Says that for a kshatriya like you, fighting is, there cannot be a better occupation than fighting, Krishna says in 2.32, 31, 32. So there cannot be a better occupation than fighting, right? So in this way, occupation, dharma also includes occupation. Now our people, they think, they don't understand that. So Krishna consciousness means our occupation also should be proper. Rupa Goswami told that. Somehow they don't understand. Sato vrati, say vrati, lifestyle and occupation should be sat. It is according to Varnashram Dharma. Varnashrama is a sat society. It is. So, in this way we see that they don't understand. All these points have to be understood. This is how dharma in the society will increase. When devotees apply this dharma in their life, then broader society, devotees are the first one to adopt Krishna system, right or not? If they claim themselves to be Krishna's followers, claim themselves to be devotees of Krishna, they are the first persons to adopt this system. So in this way, woman's chastity will be protected, woman would be protected, and so dharma will increase in the society. In this way, we will bring up good population in the society, and when good population is there, then automatically establishing Varnashrama becomes easy. These are clue which we get from these verses. Okay, so we will take some break now, and then again we'll start. Any other points which I wanted to say? These are some of the points. Eugenics, he spoke something about eugenics yesterday. Okay. Nowadays eugenics is not a, eugenics is a science which even in modern science also, it is based on racism. So racism means, you all know, I think, hopefully. So that's another big topic which we have to discuss. Anyway, they wanted to bring a better race using these techniques of eugenics. So Vedic culture is also somewhat like that. By doing Garbhadhan, Samskara and all, the following these methods of Samskara, Prabhupada mentions, you know, in those verses there in 39, 40, 41. Samskaras. And among all the Samskaras, Diksha Samskara is most important. Like we are telling, if you want to choose which one is most important, whether protecting, like stopping girls going to school and protecting their womanhood is most important, or dharma is important, sending boys to Gurukula and all, training them in the principles of dharma. So both are important, because ultimately if there is no good progeny, then we cannot train them also. They will be like demon, you know, troublesome demons. Sometimes, you know, children, you cannot discipline them. So they don't want to learn any discipline actually. So such children are not fit to be in Gurukula at all, in Brahmacharya Ashram. So they are not fit to, they are literal Varna Sankara they are. If too much is required, like Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj was asked by Guru, our Guru Maharaj, he asked, why you are you are now in ISKCON, you are, of course, he is not the only person, and he was not into, literally, there are some cases who did child abuse, that's what we hear, I don't know, report, I don't know how much they are reports, but anyway, in Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj, Gurukula also, there was some beating and all those things were there. And so there were so many complaints and cases also against Mayapur Gurukula also. So it was almost closed and he boldly reopened it. And they had banned him for some time, they had banned him for not giving initiation. So then our Guru Maharaj asked him, so they call you a child abuser and all like that. This child abuse means here, I am not talking about sexual abuse or something like that, beating and all. So then Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj said, we did not make discrimination between which children to bring in the Gurukula. So therefore some wild, you know, most of the times very wild children were brought in. And we could not discipline them without beating them. So then therefore... So what we want you to do, what we want us to do, do it. So therefore, it became unavoidable to beat them. So, of course, you all don't know what is child abuse. There is much more to that. Beating was common in Vedic culture, actually. We all got beatings, good beatings. Our teachers used to beat. And parents used to encourage teachers to beat. So... when a stick is not active, when stick is active, then learning becomes fragrant, they used to say.
There was a proverb.
What is that? Tell in Marathi.
Sadila ki cham cham vidya hi gam gam.
That's what it is, right? That is the meaning, no? What I said? When, you know, stick becomes active, learning becomes fragrant.
Yeah,
You understood this? No? What do you want? Beating is required or not? Tell. No? This fellow got beaten in the school like anything. I asked him what you did not like in the school. He said, teacher beating. Anyway, we will not beat her. But be disciplined. Huh? That is our point. We don't want to beat you all. Huh? Right. Kunja, what is this? Sleeping on Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, coming back to the point. Yeah, Damodar also, one reason he didn't want us. Lok Krishna also got like that, a beating? No, you are gentle, Maya. Lok Krishna is very gentle. Bhaskar, you got a beating from teacher? You are also intelligent and gentle. Right? Of course, we understand Balaram. Definitely we understand. What is the plan? You want to improve or we want also to implement that? Don't feel bad, don't feel bad. Okay. Okay. Don't, you will not complain to parents much. No? Oh, Priya and Prabhu speaking like that. Huh? Mommy, this person is very bad like that. Hare Krishna. Kunja Vihari, right? Baba, I kaye. Sagala amala. Sagala marta tamayala amala yata. Asa kalnar ka? Nahi kalnar na? Marle tarpan kalayal nahi paate. It is for our benefit, right? Okay, so coming back, which is important? Diksha samskar is important. Gurukula means diksha samskar. So, Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments about this? Some comments on the first chapter. There are many more to comment. It's endless. If you want to go on discussing all these verses, so much is there. But these are important points to understand from purports and verses. Then?
There are many...
Yeah, yeah, he was asked.
Like in many temples and many churches, I have seen. Normally they don't stress on this Varnashrama. They say, wherever you are, just chant Hare Krishna and follow the related principles. Take Krishna. But they don't speak beyond that. Like, you should do what Krishna says.
Yeah, they are not ashamed to eat the food which is coming from cow slaughter actually. So all the savings, earning, everything is based, connected to cow slaughter. Like when Rupa Sanatan met Sanatan Goswami first time, they told, I gave a lecture, no, there, on that. Here also I gave, right. They said, we are more fallen than Jagai Madai because we are serving lachas, who are meat eaters, who are cow killers, and who are anti-Vedic civilization. We are go Brahmana Drohis, he said, they say. We are more fallen than Jagai Madai. Why? Because Jagai Madai also, they were addicted to sinful life, but they did not take job. So preachers, if they don't preach Dharma, Varnashram Dharma, then they are also becoming instruments of cow killers and anti-Vedic civilization people. By supporting such cow killers and anti-Vedic civilization, we are betrayers of cows and Vedic civilization. They particularly mentioned, we are go Brahmana Drohis. Yes. So preacher should tell this. And, our Acharyas were told, Sato Vratti and all, right or not? Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada in the Parpat, he wrote Atyahara. In Atyahara Parpat, Prabhupada wrote simple living and high thinking. And in the end of the purport, after writing that, he says that nowadays if you talk about this simple and living high thinking, people think that we are encouraging everyone to go to primitive life. Yes. He says, you see, this primitive life is such a politics, it is. It's a nonsense, it is. It's a nonsense, it is. Because it is based on Darwin's theory. Previously there were no civilized human cultures. Now we have become civilized. Stone Age man, that is taught in school children. How many of you read about Stone Age man in the school? Nowadays I don't know whether it is there. You read which class, sir? which subject?
Science.
Social history. Social and history. Social history. Mm-hmm. So, you read Stone Age man? You didn't read. You know, previously there were hunters and gatherers in the jungle. They were not living like a. They used to go and throw that flint. You know that flint? Flint. Triangular shaped.
Sharp.
And kill the animals and eat them. And later they found out fire. Brushing the stones. And then they started burning those animals and eating. And cooking started like that. And they later found out agriculture like that, they say. All these kinds of idiot things. So this is...
We were actually asking in my office, how many of you tried that two stones, does really fire comes or not? And they said that, you know, we have not tried. Then how do we believe that, okay?
No. Fire comes, there is no doubt in that. But that is imagination, it is. They have given that evidence... That fire started like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is speculation. Yes. That is speculation that if fire started like that. You see some spark definitely by brushing some. We have tried. We have tried. I have personally tried. And often it happens if you throw stones on another stone, some spark comes. But based on that observation, they have hypothesized, they have speculated that fire started like that. Where is the evidence that fire started like that? Where is the evidence that fire started like that? It's plain speculation, right or not? Such idiot fellows.
Yeah. Then they were asking that how the fire came. Then I told that, okay, it is not now, it is since long time they were just chanting mantras and generating fire.
You should quote Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayu Kham Mano Buddhi Revacha. That is the problem. Prabhupada, he said, he quoted this verse. And he told, I will go to speak on that verse when I will come. He particularly quoted this verse and said, so, water is coming from Krishna. Bhakti Vedanta Swami says water is coming from Krishna. You should know how it is coming. That is Viveka, that is intelligence, he says. So we should know that. Fire is coming from Krishna first. How it is coming from Krishna, we should know. That is intelligence. Then we will not be blind followers. Right? We should know all these things from Bhagavad Gita. Preaching means we should know all these things. See, Krishna's energy, it is fire. Huh? It's a out material energy is constitutes. If you want details, we can go into Sankhya philosophy, how fire came and all 24 elements in third act and third canto of Bhagavatam. It is described and it is a part. Sankhya was a study of. It's a very important subject matter among the Vedic students and Vedic knowledge. Very important department of knowledge, you know, about the construction of the universe, material universe, 24 material elements. Out of that is 5 panchabhutas, you know, earth, water, fire, air, ether, how it came, fire. These idiot guys, Indians, they are supposed to study all this nonsense. They are talking this Darwin theory of, oh, such a nonsense. This education, how it makes, you know. We have such a great philosophy, Sankhya philosophy, you know. If you really you want to fulfill your intelligence, you can really study. Some people, you know, they have versatile intelligence. They cannot be satisfied without understanding things. So without knowing lots of, without accumulating lots of knowledge. So if you really want, come here. We will explain all the Sankhya philosophy. And the idiot fellows, they are learning some bogus things. Someone hit the stone and then fire started itself. Such a nonsense things. they are learning. We should teach all these things to students, Sankhya philosophy and all. Such a great, so much is their knowledge. How material world is constituted of 24 material elements, and how one is coming, how from subtle elements to gross elements are coming from subtle elements. So all these things have to be. And how when they are winding up, when you know pralaya takes place, how gross elements go on entering into subtle elements, you know, right or not? It is not so difficult because our own human body is like that. From subtle form to gross form is developed within the womb. And when we are dying actually, or when we are attaining liberation, you know, there is again description comes in Bhagavatam, no, right? How he merged all the bodily elements into broader elements and all these things, you know, right or not? Right? In first canto about the Dhritarashtra came. If you study our own body, we will come to know about creation actually. How it created and takes place, how pralaya takes place. All these things, you know. So these are all deep topics. Death, we say that, but there death means it has a lot of, it's a big phenomenon actually it is. Birth, it is not that jump, we jumped from the womb of mother actually. It's a very great phenomenon. All these things are detailed, explained in Bhagavatam. So much is there actually, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. So much is there. Anyway, come.
Like, whoever argues in this way, no, like, whatever you do, you can do bhakti. So they often use this.
Whatever do is such a nonsense it is. It's a demonic theory, you see. In Krishna Bhagavad Gita, he says, you know, demons, they don't follow Shastra. Your Shastra Pramanam te Karya Karya Vijanata. What is Karya? What is Akarya? It should be based on Shastra actually. Shastra Pramana. And Shastra's gives what should be the occupation of Brahmana, what should be occupation of. That is Shastra. If in the beginning only it is told that divine qualities have to be implemented according to Varna and Ashrama. Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi, 16th chapter, no? They are qualities of, you know, sannyasi. Then what is the qualities of Brahmana? What is the qualities of Brahmachari? What is everything is defined there. So divine qualities are defined according to Varna and Ashrama. Now if Varnashrama is not there, then what is that? That society is demonic society it is. You are preaching demonic philosophy and you are calling it as Krishna consciousness. What is this nonsense actually? You did not understand even basic ABCD, Bhagavad Gita philosophy. What do you understand? Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Krishna consciousness and chanting Hare Krishna. Nonsense it is.
So, this
so I'll talk more about that. In the, I am going to speak some. I want to read. Recently, I read one article, and I gave some lecture right in Bangalore. I was giving lecture based on that article. So, yeah, you were there also that day in Bangalore. I gave lecture. So one boy. Anyway, I'll read that article. You have to get some printouts for me. Send some printouts when you go. Before you go, you note down. We can discuss based on this. All these things should be analyzed properly. How, you know, within our moment, so much of philosophical deviations. So many philosophy. They don't know Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Basic philosophy, they don't know actually.
So often the statement is, this is not
the Sthane Sthiti Gata. Sthane Sthiti Gata means it is Varna Ashrama it is. Being situated in your Varna and Ashrama, you go on chanting and all. That is Varna Ashrama. That is Sthana. Prabhupada told that one of the instructions Prabhupada he gave is that to the members of the Krishna Consciousness. He gave some specific instructions. So in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, when that Gajendra story is there, Gajendra was in, he is an animal of land, and he was fighting with crocodile in the water. And crocodile is an animal of water it is, and it was getting strength. But Gajendra was in water, he was in foreign land, he was losing strength. For 1000 years they fought. And there Prabhupada he gives example, to carry on the duties, execute the duties of Krishna consciousness, devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement should be energetic and enthusiastic, he says. For that they have to be situated in their normal condition, in their proper state situation. That is Sthane Sthiti Gata. That means in their Varna and Ashrama, they should be fixed in their Varna and Ashrama. Then they will be able to execute Krishna consciousness properly. If you are in wrong ashram and wrong situation, occupation, you will never be happy to do that, and that will affect your Krishna. Like for example, now everyone is put into IT company, so-called engineering. Education means just put everyone into this so-called engineering, Shudra class. Put everyone into Shudra class, make them to work like labor, and left and right, day and night. And they are not happy, that's why they are not able to chant Hare Krishna. They are not happy, right or not? They are not happy with their occupation, right? Anyone is happy with their occupation? Somehow they are pulling on life. That will affect our sadhana, bhajan, right? That is Sthane Sthiti Gata. Yeah, it's all misconceptions, misunderstanding. Shastra is misunderstanding. So based on misunderstanding, there are deviations. Of course, it's not bad to chant Hare Krishna if you are not able to, like Prabhupada said, even those who are addicted to sinful activities also can chant Hare Krishna, right? Eventually they will give up sinful habit. You have to see what message, whether it is, this is Bhagavad Gita. So we should know the general message and the specific message, and especially when you are talking about from the verses, you should not misquote them without understanding them properly. Okay, so any other questions? You had some question, Sagar?
Okay, in text 51, there is one statement I was not able to understand properly. It is said that two kinds of men, namely the Kshatriyas who dies directly in front of the battlefield under Krishna's personal orders. The person in the renounced order of life who is absolutely devoted to spiritual culture are eligible to enter into the sanctuary.
Now, what he says, why, what he translates, tell once more, absolutely.
Who dies directly in front of the battlefield under Krishna's personal order, and the person in the renounced order of life who is absolutely devoted to spiritual culture.
You see that, what is that spiritual culture? Spiritual culture is Varnashrama, right? Sannyasi is absolutely dedicated to Varnashrama. Yeah.
Are eligible to enter into the sun globe, which is so powerful and dynamic.
So, Guruji, here Prabhupada is saying about two people, Kshatriyas and renounced order people.
Sannyasis.
They are eligible to enter into the sun globe. So, I clearly didn't understand what is God's agency.
Generally it is in Varnashrama it is understood. that gradually we elevate ourselves to higher planetary systems. And when we perform 100 lifetimes Varnashram Dharma, then we go to Brahmaloka. Then from Brahmaloka, we'll go back to Godhead.
Even if one is
in Varnashram, that is Varnashram. We are not talking about Krishna consciousness. In our conception of liberation is that, so of course we also should follow Varnashram Dharma as much as possible. And side by side we have to practice Krishna consciousness. By practicing Krishna consciousness, when we attain perfection, we will enter into Krishna's plan. Here the concept of liberation has to be understood. What is our conception of liberation? Our conception of liberation is that we enter into Krishna's pastimes, which are going on within the material world, and later on, along taking further training under the eternal associates of the Lord, we'll go back to Krishna. That means not directly we'll go back to Godhead. So in one sense it is go back to Godhead. So in this way we enter into Krishna's pastimes. This is our conception of liberation. Yeah. So followers of Varnashram Dharma, they will go to higher planets. And then they will... Here particularly it is mentioned, this is from Parashara Smriti. Dvamimo purusho loke surya mandala bedino parivrad yoga yuktasya rane chabi mukhe hataha. This is ours. Surya mandala bedino, it is told. He enters into surya mandala.
But you are this world absolutely devoted to spiritual culture. This is Krishna conscious. I mean, you should go back to Godhead.
Absolutely spiritual culture here means it is a relative term, no? Right? It is a very broad general term. It is not specific. Generally, sannyasis are among within Varnashrama. You see, sannyasis are renounced fully. They are not into worldly activities, right? They are not engaged in earning money. They are not engaged in producing children or something like that, you know, right? So they are, devoted to spiritual culture. Their only is, you know, activity is to cultivate spiritual life. That doesn't mean they are completely perfect in Krishna consciousness. It's clear?
So, is Arjuna...
Okay, you tell.
Jnani Yoga, sannyasi means you should be established in proper knowledge of Krishna, then he is a
sannyasi. Yeah, Jnana Yoga means, Jnana means it is a broad term, no? Right or not? Knowledge of the self, knowledge, he is cultivating, he is on Brahmabhuta stage means Jnana Yoga Vyavasthita he is. But that doesn't mean that perfection it is. If you are Brahmabhuta stage, you are Jnana Yoga Vyavasthita. That is the lowest platform of Jnana Yoga.
Yamraj is instructing Yamduta that dharma, what is dharma is by dharma to sakya and go on explaining that. Although fully situated, the religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets, cannot ascertain the real religious principles, nor can the demigods or the leaders of Sikhaloka, to say nothing of the Asuras, ordinary human beings, judges and challenges. And then, next to that, Sloka, devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. So, how, like, dharma, now understanding the dharma is very subtle, sometimes we cannot understand.
So, yeah, if you don't understand, you have to follow Mahajana, right? You cannot concoct and you cannot speculate and concoct, right or not? Right?
Yeah, people
those who know, you have to follow them, you have to, right? You have to choose a person who knows and follow them. Like for instance, one of our senior devotees in our movement, when he was given topic to speak on, ISKCON, GBC and Varnashrama, he said that no one knows how to implement their Varnashrama, we will see that in the future, he said, openly. So, if you don't know, you should ask who knows, actually. Right or not? So we are not interested in like that, he said. So those who do not know, they should ask one who knows. That's the point. It cannot be that no one knows. No one knows means then we are in really trouble. Then you have to pray to Krishna to reappear. Please come and teach us again. We are so full. Or ask acharyas to come and full and speak, right?
Great to see who are more established in more of goodness.
Yeah.
Talking of planets, even demigods cannot assert any principle of dharma.
Yeah, so what happened?
So, if we speak about dharma, following dharma, so we cannot completely follow the dharma. Even nobody cannot follow the dharma.
Nobody cannot follow because Yajnavalkya, Jaimini, Kapila, Kanada, they are actually, they are rishis, means those rishis they are talking about. It is not talking about our parampara and, you know, our sampradaya. Those are outside sampradaya. These are anti-Vedic philosophies, you know, Shad Darshan. So, they are there, rishis means. I am going to quote similar verse in 2.42 from the same section there. That verse, which verse it is? Yeah, because they are bewildered by the illusion energy of the person. Yajnavalkya and Jaimini, other compilers of religious scriptures, cannot know the secret confidential religious systems of the 12 Mahajanas. They cannot understand. That verse I am going to quote later, little later, in second chapter. Prayena dveda yidam na mahajanoyam. What a verse is these are. Anyway, what is your point? Just excuse for not following dharma. You want some excuse. That is your point.
Yes, this is
just all kinds of...
Your
understanding is misunderstanding. You are saying that many people, rishis cannot understand, means Prabhupada cannot understand. And those who faithfully try to understand Srila Prabhupada's teaching, they will not understand. Why you are comparing Srila Prabhupada to those rishis actually? Why you are comparing those rishis, bewildered rishis like Jaimini, Yajnavalkya and all? Don't underestimate our acharyas. And those who are faithful followers of Srila Prabhupada, don't underestimate them. Okay.
Yes, right. Arjuna thinks that it would be very difficult for him to be happy.
I answered your question? Okay. No? Yes?
No.
Yeah.
So Arjuna thinks that it will be very difficult for him to be happy in the association of his, not in the association of his relatives. Not being in the association of his relatives, it would be very difficult for him to be happy. But his relatives are envious of him, that fact he knew from the beginning.
Oh, once more, just I went in somewhere else. Arjuna?
Kauravas were envious of Pandavas. But Arjuna was thinking that I will not be happy if I don't have their association. Why Arjuna is thinking this? Why are you thinking this?
That's the broad-mindedness of a devotee, right? That is, Arjuna was very broad-minded in the sense that he is devotee. Like, so, like Prabhupada, in the 37th verse he says, you see, we know these people are, what he says? Although these people are blinded by, what he says? Blinded by wealth. Yeah, yadya pete na pashanti, lobo pahata chesasa, kulakshaya kratam dosham, mitra drohe chapatam. Katam na geyam asmavi, papadasma nivartitum, kulakshaya kratam dosham, prapavshadirjam. O Janardana, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family members or quarreling with them. Why should we, who can see the crime in destroying the family, Geyam asmabhihi, knowing that. So they are blinded, you know. You see? Lobo pahata chetasa, their consciousness is overtaken by greed. But we are not greedy. We are seeing what is the problem with this. We have knowledge. Arjuna had knowledge. What will be the, what are the consequences? Therefore, he did not want to.
The reason for not being happy is given from text 32 to 35.
Result of not being happy is given from 32 to 35. Okay.
So, Yogi Gopinath was explaining two reasons: materialistic people calculated, sharing with their relatives, and showing to the distant relatives. So, this is the reason which he gives that he will not be happy. So, he sharing, how will he share with these relatives who are in here?
Yeah, I understood.
Showing, what will he show to the one who
are
in
here? So then why he did not fight like that? Why he is not ready to fight?
I am not ready to.
Because he wanted to become happy.
Yeah. Means he is thinking.
Anyway, they are opposite, they are enemies of him.
Yeah.
But if you just take that one reason for not fighting, then your question will be correct. But if you take all the reasons, then your question is what? Out of context. It is, you know, it is baseless, you know, right? You got the point? Sorry to, in a strong way, answering in a strong way. But often it happens. We have to, you know, train our logic properly, intelligence properly. Often they make mistakes. This materialistic academic scholars, the way they interpret or they may challenge us in preaching and all. While preaching, they pose some question out of the context. Just taking something out from the, you know, statements of Bhagavad Gita. So this is like that. Question is like that. Question is based. You have picked one reason from there and you based, made up a question. You got it? What is my answer, everyone? So train your intelligence, it's very important. So often when they ask question, you have to understand the problem there. What is the problem with the question? Yeah.
Vidyaroka Prabhu yesterday, he told one point regarding this, that with relatives, how he enjoys some, like, people want to show off their property.
Yeah, that is also there, no?
Their bangla.
That is also showing off is there. Then? That's a, I generally don't tell that, that's a new point for me also. But Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport, I think. Yeah, I didn't read it thoroughly.
This 31st verse, Prabhu, it is referred that the Kshatriyas would die in front of battle in Krishna's personal order. And persons in absolutely devoted to spiritual life, they enter into Sangha Loka. And Prabhupada refers this example, Paramatma and Sangha Loka, that light is Brahma.
Paramatma.
This is an example he gives. He is saying they will enter into Sangha Loka. Is he not referring to Krishna Loka?
This is example, this verse is example quoted, which is quoted from Parashara Smriti there. Of course, verse is not there, translation is there, but it is a verse. So it is in a quotation, not a quotation mark, it is a quote. Shastri quote. We'll give all these verses which are quoted in Bhagavad Gita. It's not quoted. It is said, it is told, no? It is said like that, it is told, no?
It is said that.
Yeah, it is said means what? Where it is said? It's a quote actually, basically. I was telling, yeah, that's the point. You see, there is Preya and Shreya. It is an example for Preya. For Kshatriya's immediate Preya is what? We will attain even if you lay down our life on the battlefield, we will get a better success in life. So therefore, it is an example for Preya. It is not an example for going back home, back to Godhead. It is not an example of Shreya. You got the idea? We were discussing about Shreya and Preya. Okay, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So I'll not take more questions, because if I go on taking questions, we have some we have made some plot now, so which you will understand little later. So just 5 minutes stretch your legs, we'll come back, because still time is there, at least some 35 minutes according to our schedule. You, that plot also will be revealed little later. Hare Krishna.